The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's fantastic, full of freedom, fulfilling, and phenomenal Friday as we fill our faith with favorable instructions from the Book of Books, God's holy word, the B-I-B-L-E, the truth that is wiser than any wisdoms that come from humanity. First up, long time praying on long time issues is not evidence of having less faith, but it is evidence of enduring trust and confidence in God's faithfulness. Next, I have been sounding a couple of warning bells for the last decade. Unfortunately, those bells are ringing louder and louder and getting closer and closer. And finally, there is no war on American Christmas like there is a war on biblical Jesus. It's a simple question. Are we prepared to stand firm in biblical truth, or could we be caught being too squishy?
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. By the way, my new favorite theological word, squishy. That's pretty good. What do you like that?
I like it. Squishy.
Squishy. It's very theological. All right, we're going to do lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities and so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Well, you guys have got to be on top of it now, because yesterday I did a call-in only and a text-in only. You got to really think. Got to really think. Fortunately for you, we won't be doing that today. I'm just laying the groundwork, making sure everybody knows how it goes. Here we go. If you know the answer to our trivia, you're welcome to call in. You're welcome to text in. If you call in, it's the 972-445-0770 number. If you text in, it's the 214-210-8483 number. Can be something you just want to make a comment on. Could be prayer requests, praise reports. It could be trivia. Could pretty much be anything. Let me do a quick shout out to Betty, just to let Betty know, Betty, that is en route. It is en route. That's the nicest way I can say that, which means it's in the mail. Okay, it's in the mail. That's what happens when my landowner, when the person that's renting me the house goes, where's the check? I always say, it's in the mail. And then sometimes I might go, or it will be. That's kind of how I do that. All right, let's do the first trivia question. Pretty easy, gets the ball rolling. You don't have a lot of complexity here, so I'm not going to give you super high praise for this, but you should know it. In what book of the Bible does it suggest that we not eat too much honey? Ha, ha, ha. Not eat too much honey, lest you vomit. See? Too much of a sweet thing. Now, look, I'm an ice cream guy. I'm a chocolate guy. I'm a brownie guy. Oh, my goodness. I love brownies. It's like one of my biggest weaknesses. Too much of anything like that is just not good. Where is that in the Bible? Okay. Also, I want to remind you, any topic is open for conversation, because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. First thing I have to tell you, we got somebody already calling in, but I got to tell this story. They're going to have to wait just a little bit, but let me just tell you this real quickly. It was snowing on the freeway. Now you're all like going, what do you mean it was snowing on the freeway? As I was driving down the freeway coming to work, I don't know if you guys are familiar, but sometimes you have that material that's really light and breaks apart. I can't even think of what it's called. One of those styrofoam things. That's it, styrofoam. And somebody smacked into a huge piece of styrofoam on the freeway. And for about a quarter mile, there were hundreds and thousands of little pieces of white styrofoam all over four lanes. Everybody was driving. It was so weird. I remember thinking, it's like I'm in Detroit because there's just snow. I thought that was rather fascinating.
Looks like we're not in Texas anymore.
Yeah, that's exactly what it looked like. I was like, what happened? Anyway, all right, ready for our caller. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Ronnie.
Hey, brother Ronnie. How are you?
I'm doing excellent.
All right. I'm glad to hear that. By the way, I should say real quickly, it's Rosh Hashanah. So happy Rosh Hashanah. For those that don't know, it's the year 5781. For those that want to just put that in their back pocket, maybe they can use it for trivia. All right, my friend, where do we say too much honey? Not a good thing.
Proverbs.
That is correct, sir. All right. Now, do you know which proverb or the ballpark of them? Do you know whereabouts?
No.
That's okay.
You got me on that one.
That's all right, brother. Here we go. So it's 25:16. And so it's towards the end. Too much honey makes one vomit because too much of a sweet thing like that will really send you into the wrong direction. Excellent job, though. Excellent way to start the show off. Great job, my brother.
Thank you.
All
Thank
right.
you very okay. much. God
all right.
bless
God bless you.
You,
Ronnie. You have a great weekend, too. All right?
Oh, you too. You okay. preaching this weekend?
Not this weekend. Not this weekend, just doing the shows.
Okay, well, let me know when you preach the next one, so I'm going to try to come out and see you.
You got it. I will. I will absolutely let you know.
Okay.
All right,
thanks.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, Ronnie, starting the show off. Great job, Proverbs 25. And you know, when I first heard that proverb, I'm just going to be honest. When I first heard that proverb, I had this picture in my mind of somebody taking, like, now just bear with me because, you know, we like honey. Come on. I mean, if you have like, I don't know what you people, most people put, I put it on either biscuits or I actually also put it on chicken. I was putting honey on chicken like years ago. I don't know why. What's wrong with that? But the picture I had, too much honey, was somebody taking their hands into this, like this big vat of honey and just slapping it on their face and going. And it's like, yeah, that's not the way to eat honey. Besides, everybody knows it should come in those little squeeze bottles.
Right, so or the little packets.
Or the little packets. Exactly right. All right. So a couple things to tell you, and then we'll get into the show. Well, actually, I'll tell you that other thing next. But don't forget, so it's the Happy New Year. Rosh Hashanah is the new year, the year 5781. We hope that's, you know, they think that's right. But, you know, okay, everybody relax. Just Happy New Year. Happy New Year. A blessed New Year and blessings to you. May the Lord give you all the desires of your heart. That's a big thing to pray, a big thing to say, a big blessing. Okay, let me get into this John text. I've talked about it before. It's the second part of this text that I want to focus in on, but I can't do the second part without doing the first part. John chapter 5, 7 through 9. Sir, the sick man answered, I don't have anybody to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I'm coming, someone goes down ahead of me. Get up, Jesus said. Pick up your bedroll and walk. Instantly, the man got well, picked up his bedroll, and started to walk. This man was in his affliction for 38 years. Do you know how long 38 years is? That's 2 years shy of the entire time Israel was in the desert. Okay? Are you catching that? All right? If you are 76 years old, that's half your life. Just think of that. It's like, wow. And by the way, happy birthday to my father-in-law, Bruce. Fantastic, best father-in-law any man could ever pray or hope for. So happy birthday to him. Hey, I won't tell you that he's 80 years old because I'm not supposed to say how old he is. Okay. Anyway, so this guy, 38 years in his affliction. This is this guy's in his affliction, almost half of Bruce's life. Okay. And so the bottom line is he's a long time, but you don't give up. Because something takes a long time. And this is the problem that I think that's happened in our society, and I think we understand it kind of well. We are a pretty much of an intense, fast food, microwave, give it to me now, I want it done, instant. I mean, we have a lottery that people play. I'm pointing this out. But because that lottery is not enough, we have to have instant winner scratchers. That's how we are. It's like, no, it's got to be right now. and everything is fast food, and you got to pull into the gas station and fill up your car and get out of there so that you're not there for a long time. It's just like that's everything we do. We go as fast as we can just to have to wait like a couple extra seconds or just to beat a couple of seconds. It's like, you know, it's like a massive mindset that we have. So Jesus and his, and, you know, this is not, we're not playing around. Jesus is like, get up and walk. It's like, you know, it is an amazing, but sometimes the only solution, the only route that you can go is it has to be divine and it has to be radical. But even after 38 years, the guy was still looking for healing. And my statement to you right now is, I don't care if you've had a problem for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, or 80 years, or 90 years, or 100 years. You never stop. You never stop. That's ridiculous. And that people go, well, they don't have enough faith. Maybe God's just making sure the faith is good and long and good quality for a long time. You don't know. But here's the whole point of that, and I'm really limited on time. It says, now that day was the Sabbath day. This is the rest of verse 9 and verse 10. So the Jews said to the man who had been healed, this is the Sabbath. It's illegal for you to pick up your bedroll. Can I just say this? This guy was in discomfort for 38 years. And this group goes, you can't do that. Here's my comment. Who rained on these people's parade that they have to be so upset that after 38 years of not walking, this guy's walking around and they're like, that's not perfect. That's not perfect. And it's like, really? What I'm trying to tell you is don't be one of those legalistic Larrys, okay, or Sadducee Sally, okay, because you don't want to be a person that ruins the moment of a movement that's taking place. And I'm saying this in the nicest possible way. You don't want to be a killjoy. I mean, you don't want to be the person that goes in and goes, kill the joy of the moment. In fact, when people have great things that happen, you and I, we're supposed to celebrate. And so sometimes you can go, well, you know, in our denomination, we don't do it that way, so I just can't bless you in that. Really? You can't say stuff like that. That's absurd. What you do is you rejoice with those who rejoice, and you weep with those who weep, and you share in the up, and you share in the down, and that's called the brotherhood, the sisterhood, the family of God. That's what it's called. So don't be one of those people that rains on people's parades. That's number one. Number two, don't give up so easily. You don't know if God's trying to test, to give you a, not test you, but to teach you a quality of faith and a length of faith. And number three, don't be a legalistic Larry or a Sadducee Sally, because nobody likes that. And don't be a killjoy. Why be that way, right? I mean, there's no point in doing stuff like that. That's nothing to do with being a witness for Jesus. It has to do with being not a great person. That's what it has to do with. Anybody can listen to this. All right, folks, you're listening now to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We'll take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere.
Just as I am, you reach down and see me.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Let me tell you what I'm torn between the two. I'm twixt between the torn two. You want to know why? I've got the biggest breaking story ever.
No, you need to do that first. Yeah. I just can't wait.
More than my whole thing about the four-way stop sign?
Yep.
You want me to do the number one story?
That's
Ladies
right.
and gentlemen, you better get ready. Here's my advice. I don't give this advice very often, and I don't give it uncheckfully. What's uncheckfully? I don't know. Here's the biggest story you have ever heard on the David Spoon Experience. If you have children who are listening, if you are not in a car, it's time to cover their ears or send them into another room. That's how chilling this is. Ladies and gentlemen, I have it off the press literally within the last 2.5 hours. Actually, it's less than 2.5 hours ago. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen. I have it right in my hands. Get ready. Do not get nauseous when you hear this. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a fact that as of today, the Navy, the United States Navy, officially has made its proclamation. Ready? Are you ready? Are you listening? This is the most important thing ever. You ready? That Captain Crunch is a fraud. Ladies and gentlemen, the United States Navy has declared that Captain Crunch...
I do not buy it.
No, listen to this. Here's why. Let me tell you why. Captain Crunch has 3 stripes on his cuffs, and that signifies a commander and not a captain. So the United States Navy has made it absolutely known today, Captain Crunch, nay... He nay a captain. Nay. Now, it is true.
Rename the cereal?
No.
Commander Crunch?
Yes, Commander Crunch. That's the new. That's why I told you, don't let your kids hear this. It is possible that that uniform could represent either German or Portuguese Navy. They are not sure because all of those uniforms were lost with their great navies. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I will let you know this, that I have not let you know yet, but I am letting you know right now. It's pretty, right? That's pretty straightforward, right?
Straightforward.
Okay. Yep. This is our 1.5 year anniversary today. We have been on the air. We started on March 18th. This is September 18th, right? I just want to make sure. So we start March 18th in 2019, right? Is that right? And then it's I think that's right. I'm so bad at math. And then so it's now 2020, but it's September. So March, April, May, June, July, August, September. So it's a year and a half, 18 months. Ta-da!
Yay!
Ta-da! 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 Yay! Yay! You poor people. Anyway, so technically, I should tell you that it would have been 390 shows, but then you have to minus the shows technically that we do have done repeats on, plus you have to allow for the virus, plus you have to allow for vacations and stuff like that. So it's really about 350 on the show number, but that then takes my total up closer to 3,000 shows lifetimes. So that's not bad, but you know, when I get to 10,000, I'll be happy. I'll be 88 going, you better read your Bible.
No, that's not going to do it.
Okay, well, I tried. Okay, let's do the trivia question. You can call in. Ronnie got the first one in. I love that Ronnie is so on the spot. I just appreciate that, you know? Okay.
That man knows his trivia.
I know, he knows his trivia, and that's a very good thing to do. And you should always be praying for one another. When you hear their names and hear us talking about it, you should always be praying for people. I mean, that's a big thing. Okay, so somebody else had a chance to call in, or somebody else can have a chance to text in. Which of these did Jesus cure first, according to Matthew? Blindness, leprosy, or lameness? Wow, it's like a multiple choice, right? Those are my favorite multiple choice, because if you get rid of the one really bad one, you know, then you'll know. You see what I'm saying? If you get rid of the bad one, you'll know. And then you know it's usually a 50-50 toss-up. That's kind of my thing. All right, what do we got? This is David. Who am I talking to? Ronnie?
Ronnie.
Yeah. I'm
probably wrong on this one. But,
all right, yeah, I'm going to let you do this one. You're going to get this one. The next one will give somebody else a shot. But here you go. So which of these first, according to Matthew, which of these first, blindness, leprosy, or lameness?
I'm going to say lameness.
Oh, no, wait. Hey, wait. It also starts with an L. that it's not lameness.
So leprosy was the first one.
Leprosy! You got it!
I would thank you, Dave.
Hey, even if you're close, you're going to be close. I mean, we'll get you there one way or another. And you know what's amazing about that? Let me tell you just a quick story. I was doing an appeal for somebody for a group. They were raising medicine for leprosy that still exists today, by the way. And I had never noticed that, and came out of Matthew, and I was reading Matthew, and just before I did the appeal, there was that first leprosy one. I'm like, whoa. That's like the first thing he did is like heal leprosy. It's like, wow. And that doesn't mean the leprosy that people think in movies. It's a lot more skin-oriented diseases than people think, but it's still flesh-eating and it's not good. So good job, though, my brother. I'm glad you went for it. You went for it. Good for you.
Thank you.
All right. God bless, brother. You take care.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye. All right. He's fun. I like, now look at people are like, well, he calls in really fast. So call in after and say, I was going to say leprosy too. I'm going to say that. I don't mind. Call in. Say hi. What's the problem? All right. You're not going to like this story. I love you. And there's nothing negative against you people that I'm saying, but this is the kind of thing I've been crying about for a while. And so, you know, smile on that first segment, little frown on this segment, and then we'll go back up to smiling on the other segments. Remember I told you, and I've been mentioning this for a while, that there are several wars that are taking place by secular progressives and by New Agers and by atheists. And what they're doing is they're putting it under the name of civil rights. But the problem for that is true civil rights are really civil rights. You can't just call something a civil right and then go, I win because I call civil rights. It's like it has to actually be that. So when you get into global warming, that's not a civil right. See, this is the problem. It's like you're like going, what are you talking about? The legalization of recreational drugs is just, I know what you're going to try and say it's a civil right, but it's like, yeah, sure. Socialism, not a civil right. I understand people are saying that. Remember when I said laws declaring the Bible hate speech? In our sister country, the United Kingdom, this article came out just 2 days ago. A town councilor in Cornwall has written to Britain's Home Secretary accusing a Baptist preacher of spreading hate by criticizing gay pride. Now, let me explain this. Pastor Josh Williamson wrote on Facebook, on his Facebook account, his account for his church, when they canceled this year's pride event in the United Kingdom, he said, that's great. I don't think we should be celebrating sin. For this councilman wants him removed from the country, sent back to Australia, and the LGBT activists have already threatened this pastor and his wife with violence and have threatened to burn the church down. Oh, my goodness. So he writes on Facebook, well, good. I don't think they should be doing that. And now they want to excommunicate him from the country. And they want his church and his message declared as hate speech. So for those that don't know that this is coming, I've been banging this bell for a long time. The idea is, in man's wisdom, there is this idea of political correctness. And political correctness means everybody should be on the same plane, except for those who don't like what it is that's being added to the plane. In other words, the tolerant ones are the least tolerant people. And what they're shooting for is no mention of God in the public square and no opportunity to ever declare the word of God, share the word of God. Wait. Or speak the word of God, and don't misunderstand that the Bible will be declared hate speech and not allowed in any public format and will at some point not be allowed to be sold in any public format. And you think that would never happen. You would say 15 years ago, there's no chance that they could shut the church down in a week. And yet COVID-19 comes in, they shut it down in a day. So don't tell me that can't happen. And I will just mention the other things, and people can get mad at me. I'm not trying to irritate you. I'm just telling you these are the things that you can see, because within the framework of Scripture, you know what Scripture says, and it doesn't matter what position you are, if you're a Republican or a Democrat, doesn't matter if you're liberal or conservative, these were still always en route, and that's global warming, same-sex marriage, gun control, race, silencing the conservative ideas, legalization of drugs, required financial equality, socialism, elimination of constitution, no mention of God in the post. These have been in route. How long have they been in route? Now, some of these things, look at America has some problems and has done some wrong things. I got no problem with this country. We have the greatest capacity to feed people in the world. We pay people not to grow food. I don't know. Okay, I mean, to me, eh. Second, and no matter what you say, and I will die on the cross for this, we abort more children than any other country every year. You think God's impressed with that? Oh, well, what a great country. They're killing 30 million babies. It's like, it's terrible, right? But these other things, just jump over those. It's like, wow, what's going on? And when they tell you, you can't quote Scripture, don't be all that surprised. They told Peter and John, stop speaking, right? Had him in jail for a while, and then they kept speaking. Had him in jail again. Don't kid yourself. This is one of the reasons why I'm one of those people that say you need to be in the Word, be in the Word, be in the Word. Because what happens if you lose your printed copy? Will you still have the Word of God? I have my phone. What if they confiscate your phone? Do you know enough of the Word of God that you can continue to eat upon and survive and live in the Word of God? That's a fair question. You have to think about that. And that's why you hear me always pounding it. Dave, you're so, oh, come on. You with your BFN, big fat nose in the book attitude, da-da-da-da-da. Like, yep. Why? Because this is where it's heading. This is the tactic, to remove the Word of God and thereby eliminate as much. Now, the good news is, if you're a real Bible-believing, born-again Christian, you know this is all closer. It's all closer now. Yeah, the Lord can come back any minute. Any minute would be good. Yeah, I got 1 minute till my break. He can come back in the next minute. Okie dokie. Come on back. Come on back, Jesus. And we should be thinking that, because true Bible-believing, born-again Christians want Jesus Christ to return. You know, don't tell me about the, well, I want to have my nice 80, 90 years, and then I'm buried in the ground. Then when the resurrection, forget it. I want the trumpet to blow. I want the sky to split wide open. I don't care how the eschaton happens. I want to go up and meet Christ and go, that's the end of that. I'm done. See ya. Wouldn't want to be ya. That's how I wanted to be. And true Christians want that. You want Jesus to come. That's what it says at the end of the book. Amen. Even come, Lord Jesus. Amen. All right. We get back. We'll lighten it up just a little. I know what's going on. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Can't stand the skill. Can't stand the shame. It may be.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interest. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. All right, we're getting ready to give you a trivia question, but I'm going to drop, I'm going to drop some seriously cool theology on you. Ooh! Do we have any ooh-ooh music? I don't know. Do we have anything like that? Let me know if you find something and just kind of holler at me. All right, so I'm going to do this trivia question, but I want you to be aware of something. This is the kind of stuff that I really enjoy, but it's kind of a weird, it's a little bit strange. Okay, in the law that Moses was giving to the children of Israel, if you just think about this, you don't have to get overly deep, but just think about this. In the law, as he gave that to Israel, he was giving a law that was given to the nation of Israel, but then had application for individuals as well. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus spoke first to individuals, but then it had an application of corporate as well. In other words, the Old Testament has a little bit more of a sense of nationalistic, while the New Testament has more of the sense of the individualistic, hence the focus more deeply on the relationship of God. But here's something that will blow your mind if you can make this connection. The Holy Spirit was given in the Old Testament much more individualistically. But in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit was given more corporately. It's almost like the opposite of each other. So you had an individualistic mandate from Christ that comes from the Sermon on the Mount, and then the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But you had a corporate mandate from Moses and the individualistic process of the Holy Spirit. I just thought I'd throw that in your direction. People are like, what are you talking about? You try to figure out what I do with some of my time besides schooling and this, that, right there. Like, woo! I like stuff like that. But then again, you know, that's me. All right, here's the trivia question. But if you don't get it, I'll explain it later. But it is a little bit straightforward. Here you go. Now, everybody get ready. Ronnie's done two, so he's good. We're going to give him a pass on this time because we want the other people, to call in and get a chance. What does the Bible say was put in charge to bring us to Christ before faith came? The hint, I just gave you that answer in theology. What does the Bible say was put in charge to bring us to Christ before faith came? Okay, just going to leave it right there. So somebody was brought in, and that would lead us to Christ. What was that? Ooh, Oh, see? Oh, I got people texting already. Very good, Joy. Good job. You and Cordy just doing good. I'm not going to give the answer yet, though. All right. If you do know the answer, you're welcome to call in. You're welcome to text in. What is our text? 214-210-8483. Got to think about that. What led us to Christ? What was given that led us to Christ? Okay, led us to Christ. That's a big, big, big component there. And somebody's calling in.
Okay, we're going to assume it's not Ronnie.
I think he wants to do a 4 for 4, which I don't blame him. I'm going to give him that chance one time. Not today. Okay. All right. Ding, ding, ding. All right, this is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David. Happy anniversary.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
This is Eric.
How you doing, my brother?
Hey, doing great here.
All right. I love you. You know I love you, and Lord, praying for you every single day. You've done such a great job. I've just really been blessed by the Lord blessing you.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. All right. Here we go. What does the Bible say was put in charge to bring us to Christ before faith came? What was that?
Would that be the advocate?
Okay.
Or the Holy Spirit.
Okay, so now here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about what is it that Moses gave the children of Israel, and then what was it in Galatians that moved us from that to Jesus? In other words, what did Moses give the children of Israel?
He gave them the law.
That's it right there! You see, the law was the tutor that led us to faith in Christ. The law was the, they use the word tutor, which is probably a pretty good word because I understand what a tutor is because I had one. It led us to faith in Christ because we couldn't keep the law.
Well, very good. Hey, I baked you a cake for your anniversary, but I ate it.
That was very nice of you. You know, and they say too much cake makes one... Thanks, one moment. Good job, Eric. I love talking to you, and I love your faith and your commitment and your partnership with this show, and we couldn't have done it without some of your help, and I appreciate that.
Well, that's great. That's great. Hey, Joy, it's your turn now. You need to call in.
He's calling Joy out. That's classic. Oh, my gosh. Mic drop.
You have
that's
a great,
great
day, David.
All right. Thank you, brother. God bless you.
All right.
See, now you got listeners calling out listeners. I don't know. This show is going nutty.
I'm telling you, if I was Joy, I'd try to call in.
Oh, my goodness. Joy and Cordy just got called out. That's amazing. Okay, that doesn't happen very often. All right, I only got limited time, so... all right, I'll do the history. I'll just do history. Oh, we got to do the website. Forgot that, too. All right, website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email, david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right. Now, don't forget that you got to go. That's the place you want to go if you want to help us in some of the finances. I looked today. We were lower than I thought, but not really bad low. So just, you know, come on. We got a whole week here. You got a whole week. So let the Lord lead you and guide you. And then we give. So we're looking for our places to give, just to let you know. All right. I don't really have time for the history in this segment, so we'll do it in the next segment because I want to talk to you about this thing. I actually had a dream about this, which I think is kind of bizarre. Let me read this, and then we'll go from there. Acts chapter 1, verse 20 through 22. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his dwelling become desolate. Let no one live in it, and let someone else take his position. Therefore, from among the men who have accompanied us during the whole time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day he was taken from us, from among these it is necessary that one becomes a witness with us of his resurrection. All right, now listen. So you have a lot of people talk about, well, you know, there's 12 disciples, and there was a specific reason for 12, and yes, there were 12 tribes in Israel, and everybody gets that. But Judas, okay, betrayed Jesus, and in fact, if you look in the Greek where it says, I have not chosen you 12 yet, one of you is a devil, not the devil, a devil, big difference there. And what they had to do is they had to replace Judas, because Judas fell, and his bishopric, somebody else had to take, and so somebody had to take his position. They're taking, so you got the 12 disciples. You lose one. Now you got 11. So they're going to add another one. But I want you to understand why, and why is very important. It's not just so that they can have a nice 12, okay? Because that's the theology that some other groups came up with that said, see, one tribe was lost, we're the replacement. It's like, no, 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 no. The reason that there had to be another one there was to, get ready, all the brilliant stuff in theology is going to drop right here, was simply to testify to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The reason that they wanted to have another witness take his place was for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Yes, there's a connection to Israel and the 12. Yes, there's numerology kind of mixed into that. Yes, we can understand that from Revelation, because you had 12 apostles, you had the 12 tribes, and there's picturesque in there, and we get that. But what was the reason? It was for a witness for the resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is by far so the cornerstone of Christian faith that Paul says, without the resurrection, we're of all people most miserable. Because then we're doing all that we're doing and going through all that we're going through for nothing. The resurrection is a non-negotiable truth in Christianity. No room otherwise. Without the resurrection, without that resurrection, these are the things that happen, okay? Without the resurrection, there is an inability to verify that everything that Jesus said was true. With the resurrection, it confirms that what he taught is so. He is the only way, John 14:6 and Acts 4:12, and one mediator, but without the resurrection, there's no point. It doesn't matter. And the only real hope, and stop saying this and don't get mad at me, stop saying your blessed hope is 1,000 years. Oh my goodness, your blessed hope's 1,000 years? Mine's a gazillion, trillion, billion, gazillion, zillion, illion, bazillion. 1,000? I want a bazillion more than that. Why? Because that's what I want. I want eternity with God, because eternity with God is the goal. And an eternity is not a frame that starts at point A, it ends at point B. The real hope of the church has always been eternal life. Eternal life. And the reason that's important, the reason that's crucial, is because that is the key doctrine of Christianity. No other spokesperson for any other religion or faith has put all of its eggs in the he must raise from the dead basket. All the other faiths point to the tombs of their prophets. We point to an empty grave. You know, we're the only people that point to a hole in the ground, right? I'm just saying, see, look, there, look, right there. Why that's crucial? That's the core of our Christian faith, the resurrection. Should give you hope. It's like, oh, I can't wait till this one's done. Right, because the next one going to be phenomenal, fantastic, absolutely wonderful. And the idea is to rejoice in the core tenet of our Christian faith, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Everything he said is true. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by him, and that is our real hope. Okay? Okay. Okay? Okay. It's all right. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
Is the David Spoon Experience.
Or the president of Focus on the Family. When you got that position, I'm talking the initial moment that you knew you were getting that position, were you thinking, what?
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking. Given my background, I was going, no, no, no. In fact, I got home, said to my wife, Jean, this is what I've been asked today. And she looked at me and said, who would have thunk it? That summed it up. That was that entire day. I was just like, oh my goodness. My wife and I used to pray for the poor guy coming behind Dr. Dobson.
Now you were praying for yourself. You didn't even know it.
That's exactly right. Does he have a sense of humor or what?
That's great stuff. Excellent material and an excellent interview, Jim. I really appreciate it. You did a great job, and I just want to thank you from my whole heart just for all the work that you're doing, for the people that you're blessing, and for this project that you guys have been working on Irreplaceable. Nice job.
Thanks, David.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Quite the experience today. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I do want to let you know you can reach our show. You can text 214-210-8483. You can also call in 972-445-0770. Here is our final trivia question of the day. Where did you get that? That's hilarious. The book of Proverbs suggests that a good medicine is what? What's a good medicine? What's a good medicine? What's a good medicine? Okay, that's what we're asking. All righty. You just can't believe you guys are so amazing. As we answer the trivia question, I get to the phone. Where's the phone? Here we go. There we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Well, hello, David. This is Joy. Eric challenged me to call, so here I am.
You guys are so unbelievable. It is amazing. But boy, this is a year and a half anniversary show that will never be forgotten. I've never had this happen.
And I want to say happy 1.5-year anniversary and happy Rosh Hashanah. We love and bless you, my twin sister and me, Cordy and myself. We are so blessed.
Nice. That's so nice. All right. So you know this one. So I know you know this one. So we're going to do the trivia question.
Yes, I do.
All right. So we're talking about what's a good medicine. What's the good medicine?
Well, it's a cheerful heart.
That is correct. You are right.
Yes.
If I can share
this real quick, David.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I was a school nurse for many years, so I used that verse in my letters to families and as a witness many times. It was a favorite verse.
Excellent. And it is true. I mean, it's so true. You can, I mean, a cheerful heart just makes so many things change. Excellent job.
And amen. You also, thank you like so your, much for the show.
You are such a great blessing. We love and appreciate you and Cordy very much. Thank you so much.
Same here. Thank okay. you, David. All thank right. you.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. All right. Ay. Okay.
Here I come.
I don't know where that goes, but it sounded like it was a good play. I'm just gonna do this because I have to. Let's just do. We didn't do the website, did we? We haven't done anything. We are just like, okay. You know, sometimes the plans don't work out. Have you ever noticed that? It just happens. All right, let's do the website.
Thank God it's Friday.
Thank God it's Friday. Love it. Okay. See, that's that guy. Is that the Dr. Pepper guy, by the way?
I still haven't found out about it yet.
It's so funny. All right. Website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org. Hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Excellent job. All right. So, everybody, you have been fantastic. I mean, that's great. And I just want to say thank you to Teach. You've been doing a fantastic, I mean, just fantastic work. And then everybody's been really supportive. This last 6 months have been great, you know, except for the going through the March. That was a little weird. It was the phone Aww. Thing was tough, you know. Now I can hear myself, though. That's a good thing. All right, let's cover a little bit of history, and I do have to finish up. I got to finish this teaching. I just feel that impression. So let's do a quick history. Let's try that real quick.
Let's go live in the past. Let's go live in the past.
All right, the only reason I really want to do the history are these three things. One, National Cheeseburger Day. You cannot beat that. There's just nothing anybody can say. And then I'm from being in California. I'm not from California. Oh, my gosh. I would have to go to an island and be detoxed for years and years. Anyway, I lived in California for 20 years. In-N-Out burgers are my favorite. I mean, that's just great. It's also Rice Krispies Treat Day, and I love Rice Krispies. Aren't those great?
Woo! Oh, let's see.
Well, I love tea. And then it's also National Ceiling Fan Day. I don't know what to do with that.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
I have no idea. 1965 on this day started a classic television show called Get Smart. And a lot of you don't know, but in the writing of Get Smart are some very classic Yiddish jokes. Right in the writing. I'm not going to go too deep into it, but the writer was dropped in a couple of classic. You don't even understand the robot in Get Smart. His name was Jaime. See, this is kind of stuff a lot of people miss. And then last but not least, and I'm going to leave this here and don't take offense to this, but in 1973 on this day, President Carter, before he was president, saw a UFO. Okay, but back then, President Carter, before he was president, used to smoke a lot of pot. So, figure it out. Okay, there you go. All right, let me give props to my very, very good friend, a mentor of mine whom I love deeply, is Ray. And most of you are aware of his book, which you can get this book this day. That link is still on our website. I just want to finish off with his one devotional that has to do with being sealed. If you've already read it, just listen to it. You might hear something different the second time through. Here's what he wrote. In him you also trusted, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to be sealed? When Solomon described his beloved as a garden enclosed, a fountain sealed, she later responded, "Set me as a seal upon your heart and set a seal upon your arm." In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul's letters to the Ephesians and the Corinthians, he described believers as being sealed with the Holy Spirit. Both Corinth and Ephesus were lumbering centers during Paul's time. Logs were floated in from the Black Sea into their harbors, where builders sent their men to look them over. They made their selection, put down their deposits, and cut a specific wedge into each log they purchased. This was called the seal. The logs might wait in the harbor for weeks, tossed around by the weather conditions or sent down the river to different destinations. But when the owners came to claim them, there was no mistaking which logs belonged to who. When Paul told the believers of these two logging towns that God had sealed them with the Holy Spirit, he had a clear picture of what he meant. Though we are tossed around by the waters of life like those logs, when the appointed time comes, our Lord will pick each of us and claim us as his own, for we have been sealed. When Solomon's beloved implored him, set me a seal upon your heart and upon your arm, he too knew what she meant. Mark me as your own. Now seal me, embrace me, surround me, and never leave me. A fountain sealed carried a significant cultural meaning. In the dry desert of the Middle East, water is a precious commodity. Finding water was and is like striking gold. Today's battles over water rights are a continuation of centuries of fighting. Upon finding a well or a fountain, a landowner quickly built a wall, sealed the foundation, and protected it under lock and key. Only the owner kept the key to the fountain. In a world full of thorns, thistles, and dry wilderness, the Lord sees us as a precious fountain, one that can bless and refresh others, but also needs to be jealously guarded and protected from those who would misuse or abuse us. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit. The enemy can't have us. We belong to the one who saved us and loves us. What an excellent, excellent devotion. My favorite part of this devotion, for those of you that have the book, just go back and read it. But my favorite part has they would cut a special wedge into each log they purchased. So there was never a question as to whose ownership it was. Let me explain something to you. As much as you might not like this to a degree, God cuts a special wedge into each one of us in a unique way that identifies us. I personally, when you look at the logging analogy, would not think that everybody's wedge or everybody's cut, the specific cut, is not the same. But it's done by the same master craftsman. And here's a wonderful thought. You and I, we are saved by grace through faith, through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. And then in Ephesians 2:10, it says, we are his, and the Greek word is masterpiece. When we think of a masterpiece, we always think of, you know, like a Rembrandt or the Statue of David. God thinks of you as his work and his masterpiece. You are a created piece from the master. Oh, that ought to carry you through to Monday. That's going to carry me through. I love you guys. I appreciate all of your support, all of your prayers. I pray for you every day, and I hope nothing but that the Lord bless you mightily all weekend long and the rest of the year. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 71-hour break. Then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.